Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Houston is all systems go.
We love our Astros in Houston.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
For Minute Maid thrills, watch them hustle, catching hard hit balls on the run. Our infield is solid and steady, making big plays is their thing. Steal a base, hit and run.
Yeah, we're ready.
Call a board, cause it's time for the game. Our destination is clear. And
I love that there's no names in this song, so it makes it timeless.
That guy knew what he was doing.
He did know what he was doing. And another guy knows what he's doing. It's our very own Richard Justice. We claim him because we had him hosting the show, and he came in. And you know what's funny is, Richard, on a lot of the stuff that was saved from our morning show, like best of stuff back in the 15, 60 days, and Uncle Drayton comes up, you're on there. You're on there laughing and cackling. I just was out there trying to I figured out that I was just trying to make you laugh for most of those segments.
My, how times have changed. You know, the Astros now, you don't get as many laughs. You get more wins. You get more brain power. But you doing Uncle Drayton was as good as it gets. Oh, my God.
But you know what, though?
And I was walking through the Minute Maid Park the other day, and somebody just looks at me and goes, pew, pew, pew. And I go, stop it.
Pistols?
That was then. This is now.
So, and there were some people who worked for the Astros, I think, who also kind of got a kick out of that because they knew secretly.
Very much so.
Yeah, I think they knew.
In a dark humor kind of way.
And that's the thing. You know, yeah, we had some fun with it and would laugh, but then eventually it turned to sorrow because it was just not a well-run team. It was a poorly run team with poor standards and poor processes. Well, at least it developed into that over time. I don't think it started that way.
And, you know, Drayton looked at the team as a sales thing. Like when they signed Pettit and Clemens for low-dollar things, Jerry Hunsicker goes to him and goes, okay, we got a chance to win the World Series. I got to go fix the bullpen. And Drayton would say, wait a minute, the phones are ringing off the hook. We can't sell tickets fast enough. What do you need to do anything? And it just like it didn't compute. I was talking to some architects who did done a bunch of ballparks, including Minute Maid. When Minute Maid was built, they begged Drayton, buy all this land around here. And he didn't, you know. And so what you've seen is urban development all over the Astros. The land is worth so much. Astros are having trouble holding on to their parking lots, and Jim Crane's opened restaurants. I mean, he has a whole vision of the neighborhood. And I was complaining about Drayton to these architects. And I said, no, he didn't have that kind of vision. That was not who he was. He was a grocery salesman. He just looked at the world differently. And so that's the way the Astros are run now. They just look at the world differently. Jim Crane and Reed Ryan see it from a global perspective of the neighborhood and revenues. And obviously, Jeff Luno is pretty good at putting a baseball team together. And A.J. Hinch is as good as maybe the best I've ever been around in terms of relating to players, running a game, communicating, being the face of the franchise. And to get his 500th win last night with that lineup and all the adversity they're going through, I imagine he went home feeling about as good as he has in his managerial career other than the World Series.
I would think so. And, you know, process is very important. Yep. We had Chris Ballard from the Colts on yesterday, the GM, and he mentioned process. And I know he views it as process over results, because if you follow the process, you'll get results. And with the old regime, it was about how do you find results. And I think from an ownership standpoint, Jim Crane understood very early on, and it really was necessitated by some of the mistakes of the previous ownership, that they had to be indebted to a process. They had to be committed to a process. And Jeff Luneau has moved forward with this process. And what the process has yielded is not just an astonishing amount of core talent. And some was drafted by Ed Wade in the previous regime. You have to give them the credit that they deserve for the players they brought in, including Jose Altuve. But then you look at the depth. Richard, for you to be able to keep putting up these numbers and these wins with no Jose Altuve, with the injuries that have befallen George Springer, with some of the ups and downs of the starters and the pitching staff. I mean, Gerrit Cole's not off to a red-hot start. We know that Corbin Martin has really struggled lately. But you get a win after Corbin Martin struggles like that right out of the gate in 3 2/3 innings. I mean, it really speaks when you see Derek Fisher, a leaner, hungrier Derek Fisher, who really looks confident up at the plate. There's Garrett Stubbs just coming up and you know, slapping a couple hits out there. It really speaks to that process of building sustainable winning culture.
That's exactly right. And I think all of our minor league teams made the playoffs last year. And Jeff Luneau's obsession was, okay, the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, but in trying to win in 17 and 18, they depleted their farm system. And the one thing Jeff just said is, we got to build something sustainable here. And if it means, so we're going to emphasize every roster spot on every minor league team. And there are going to be deals we walk away from. We walked away from getting James Paxton. He went to the Yankees because the prospect package was too high. He didn't get the best catcher in baseball, JT Realmuto, because the package was just too high. He said, you just have to put yourself in a position to win long term and to think long term. You know, and you mentioned the process. There's the numbers. Jeff, obviously, and his staff are focused on the numbers. I think AJ deals with, how do you make it work? How do you correlate it into results at the plate? And there's always going to be a push and pull. And one time I asked Jim Crane, I said, what is your role? And he said, my role, really, and this is sort of the perfect answer for what you'd want an owner to be. My role is a referee. I'm the role. When AJ and Jeff come to loggerheads, I'm the one that's got to figure it out and make it work. That is so perfect. And so I think, you know, and there's a culture in that clubhouse. So you get Jack Mayfield up, you get Garrett Stubbs up, Derek Fisher. So you're without your foundation. Springer, Altuve, Correa, and Bregman. You're without three of those four. And you still figure a way to win, and nobody makes a big deal out of it. It's just putting guys in an environment in which they feel comfortable. They make them feel like part of it. That all goes all the way back to spring training. I got to tell you a story. Brady Rogers, who's up with the club now, he was standing on a mound inside during spring training, and they had all these cameras aimed on him, studying his mechanics and all of this. And George Springer walks out of the clubhouse, and he looks over and sees all these cameras aimed on the guy, his kid, like he's a guinea pig. And Springer just yells across the field, "Don't do it! They're trying to clone you." And you always think, you know, because of the process, they're so smart and all that. Hey, maybe they are trying to clone the guy. You don't know.
Richard Justice from MLB Network and MLB.com. I don't know how much MLB Network stuff are you doing right now?
Only a couple times this year. It's usually the second half of the season. It picks up. They're carrying as many day games as they can right now.
Yeah, that's like me with draft. They only bring me in for a couple of months. They hide me, and then they put me back in the hole. So I want to mention something I think is kind of interesting. You don't see this as much, and I deal with hybrid. You know, basketball has hybrid players. Football now has a lot of hybrid players. It's neat seeing Tony Kemp over there playing second base. The ability to play infield, outfield, he has that experience. Yuli, of course, plays multiple positions. Marwin Gonzalez was that kind of guy. I think it's, you know, it doesn't feel like, I know Spires did some of that as well, but it used to be if you played infield, you just didn't play outfield, and certainly no outfielders played infield. It's kind of neat seeing on one team more, well, Diaz now took over for Marwin, but to see these hybrid guys who can play not just multiple positions, but play the infield, outfield role, I think sometimes people don't really take into account how rare that has been historically to see this many players be able to play that level of infield, outfield if need be.
Yeah, everybody wants the Ben Zobrist. And not just Ben Zobrist now. Everybody wants Shohei Ohtani, a guy that can pitch an inning. you know, Brett Eibner, who's from the Woodlands, drafted originally by the Royals. The Dodgers were going to make him a two-way player. They sent him back to minor leagues to learn how to pitch again. He had pitched and played center field at Arkansas. That's what everybody's looking for. It began with Zobrist. The Rays said to him, you can go back to AAA and play shortstop, or you can bring all your gloves up here and be in the big leagues. He goes, you know what? I think I'll go get an outfielder's glove. And that's what everybody's looking for. You know, the challenge is all these players have such a pride. They don't want to embarrass themselves on the field. So for Tony Kemp to have the guts, he was a second baseman, to go play the outfield, for Diaz to go take balls in the outfield, it saves AJ a spot. Mm-hmm. But the next generation, what the Rays are looking at is getting players that can also pitch. How close we're going to get to that, because it's two skill sets and you have enough trouble finding hours in the day to hone will one. But to that guy that can move around the field like Marwin did, I mean, there's no estimating how valuable Marwin was to the club, you know, and being able to play anything and play at a high level. And that's what you're looking for. So Diaz and Kemp are sort of a hybrid of that, play anywhere.
Where do you fall on Corbin Martin right now? Got off to a good start, and then three. I mean, he struggled more and more with every start. Where are you right now on Corbin Martin and how you proceed with him?
I think he's going to be a star. I mean, there's no reason to think he's not going to be a star. The important thing is to keep him in a teaching environment, and Brett Strom is good at that. Verlander and Gerrit Cole have been good with him. You know, you're going to have these games. He's just, I would say you need to go back to AAA and work on your craft some more. But I don't know what their options are in the rotation with McHugh hurt right now, you know, and Peacock in the rotation. So they're stressed in terms of that. Would they turn back to Dallas Keuchel, who next, in about a week, there'll be no draft pick compensation? The Yankees are after him. I don't know what they're going to do. The one thing Jeff did, he had a cautious offseason, although when you look at it, you go out and get Michael Brantley and Diaz, and it doesn't look like and Robinson Chirinos. It doesn't look cautious, but he kept his powder dry. He kept prospects. He still has money to spend. And I think the way he looked at it is, we're going to win the American League West. We want to be on October 1 the best position we can be. That means having our guys healthy again, and if they need one more starting pitcher, they've got the they have the money and the prospects to go out and get it. So, you know, they have some wiggle room in terms of the standings to figure it out one day at a time. I think they always thought Forrest Whitley would be the guy. He and Martin would split up the innings, but I don't know that he's pitched well enough to earn a promotion at this point.
Is there any this is a quick just yes or no. Is Garrett Stubbs the smallest catcher in Major League Baseball history? I mean, I couldn't believe
my answer would be, I don't
small
know.
Small he was.
Yeah, but you know, like, they brought him to camp the last couple of years, and they made, and I know the Cubs were looking at him for a while in trade talks with the Astros. So, you know, he feels like that's the great thing about relying on your own guys. They feel like they're part of the team before they're actually part of the team. And then when he comes up, it's comfortable.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's part of what Springer feels like. You tell us, of all the guys that are in there, Altuve, Mariz, I know there's a lot of guys, not just one guy. It's a culture that's in the locker room. I feel like the kind of the heart of that whole thing is, if you had to get down to where the root system is, I feel like George Springer is that guy that gives all that, you know, the love between the players. And am I inaccurate there? I'm sure it's
not. You are 100% right. There's a lot, you know, it's a quilt. And there's a lot of parts to the quilt. But he's the guy. He's the heart and soul. The highest compliment to him is when he was on the disabled list in the past. AJ has asked him to put the uniform on and be in the dugout, and I want you to get on me. I want you to get on your teammates. I want you to run your mouth the way you do, because what he brings in terms of energy and the joy, I mean, just the joy the guy plays with every day, you can't replace it. When he got hurt, he was the guy that was going to challenge Mike Trout for the American League MVP. The guy never has a bad day. He comes in with a smile every day. He's the DJ. They have these quick, loud parties, clubhouse parties, celebrations after every win, because the point being, never take winning for granted. And George is the DJ. George, to me, is the guy that makes it go in terms of when we talk about culture. He's that guy. Now, this, you know, obviously there's others, but he's the main one.
Last one. I know it's early, and I know the answer is probably no, but at some point do the Astros say, well, our sample size is so substantial now, we've really got to think about Ryan Pressly being our guy to shut people down at the end of a game? Or is he too valuable in the seventh or eighth in the role that he has to just get him to that spot?
I think they feel what they have now is perfect. That
God, he's good. I mean, he's really good.
That those two guys are perfect. They're as close to a sure thing as there is in baseball. I mean, you see the way Will Harris has pitched, and they feel good about Rondon, you know, Harris. Now you got to get to October. A couple of years ago, their bullpen was good too. And by the time they got to October, they didn't trust any of them. Jeff Luhnow looks at relievers as volatile stocks. You know, they basically remade their bullpen from midseason on last year, changed the back end of the bullpen, and he's not afraid to do that again. But what they have now, they feel work. They feel like they've got the best team in baseball. But does that mean they're going to win a championship? It means they've got a chance.
That's Richard Justice, MLB.com. You can check him out. Obviously, you can follow him on Twitter as well. Do you see Jose Altuve back by, let's say, Sunday-ish?
Oh, my God. That's a scary one because, you know, you keep thinking of Pedroia, and it's a serious thing. They're so secretive about injuries.
I know.
You just don't know with Springer, Altuve, and Correa. When you see them back on the field, they'll be back. You know, you study data and the analytics a lot. Injury prevention, injury treatment, that's the groundbreaking thing that every team, especially the Orioles, Brewers, and Astros, who are all made in, and Rays, who are made in mirror images of each other. So I trust them, but to me, it's nerve-wracking on all three of those guys until we see them back out there.
That's Richard Justice. Thanks for joining us today, Richard. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lance.
All right.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.